Sing them over again to me.
We thank God that you are listening as we open this weekly program from Words of Life, brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Before Jesus brought Lazarus back to human life, Jesus told his sister Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Brother David Johnson will use two words of this, "I am," that are found in John 11, 25, and 26, for his sermon on this broadcast today. You can expect a blessing as you listen. We now praise God in song. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we humble ourselves before you in prayer, we recognize that you are God, the God of salvation that is found only in Jesus. Thank you for sending him to earth and cleansing us of our sins. Lord, please use this program for your glory. Bless each of our listeners with the understanding and convictions that are needed. We also ask for the healing of their bodies as needed and for the power of your peace. Persecuted Christians throughout the world need your protection from harm, and they also need strength and faith. Please bless them. And Lord, help us to be ready for the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Using John 11, 25 and 26, Brother David Johnson will present, I Am.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, I Am. And our text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Listen to the Word of God. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that is a question not only to that person centuries, even thousands of years ago, but that is a question for each one of us today. Do you believe this? Jesus Christ made many unique, fantastic claims about himself. For example, John chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. That is, just as bread is the staple of physical life, so Jesus is the staple of spiritual life. People eat bread to satisfy physical hunger and sustain this life. However, Jesus can satisfy spiritual hunger and sustain spiritual life only by a right ongoing relationship in him. Bread must be eaten to sustain physical life. Likewise, Christ must be personally received and persevered in by obedient faith to have life eternal. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus stated this as he was standing in the treasury part of the temple, where the offerings were put, also where candles burned to symbolize the pillar of fire that led the people of Israel through the desert, according to Exodus chapter 13 and verses 21 and 22. It was in this location and context that Christ called himself the light of the world, according to scholars. The pillar of fire represented God's presence, protection, and guidance. So Jesus Christ is the light, not just to Israel, but to the world. Israel was to be a light to the nations. To be in Christ brings God's presence, ultimate protection, and guidance. When Christ said, follow me, he meant those who give themselves completely to Christ. Jesus Christ is the light for the world to find the truth and find him as personal Savior and Lord. Also, consider John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus used this figurative analogy when he also referred to himself as the good shepherd, who provides for and protects his sheep. In ancient sheep pens in the Middle East, the shepherd functioned as the gate, letting his sheep in and protecting them. Christ is the gate to God's salvation. As the gate, Christ is the only entrance unto salvation. For example, consider the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A good shepherd loves the sheep and is committed to them, even to die for them. This is a reference to Christ's substitutionary death for sinners on the cross. Consider John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus Christ has power over life and death. Therefore, Christ can raise the dead to live again. Those who have persevering faith in Christ can inherit eternal life with God. No resurrection or eternal life exists apart from Jesus Christ, who is the life giver, the eternal life giver. John chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus Christ is the only exclusive way to God. Christ is also perfectly truthful and the giver of eternal life. Some may argue that only through Christ is too narrow-minded. Actually, the person of Jesus Christ is wide enough for all mankind if he or she chooses to accept Christ's offer. Instead of claiming there are other ways, mankind should be extremely thankful there is one sure way to the truth and to the life which is eternal. Jesus Christ is the way, because he is the perfect truth of God and the life of God. Consider also the Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 5, again the words of Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The grapevine is a prolific plant. A single vine supports numerous branches and bears many grapes. The branches figuratively represent all those who claim to be followers of Christ. The branches that produce fruit are genuine believers who, by their living union in Christ, produce fruit. Those who produce no fruit whatsoever are not genuine believers and will eventually be separated from the vine. Genuine faith that saves always, without exception, produces some fruit. There is external evidence of inward true faith. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in James chapter 3 and verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Genuine saving faith always has godly deeds to verify true faith, no exceptions. In the Gospel of John, there are actually 23 I ams stated by Jesus Christ. These fantastic claims of I am actually emphasize the divinity, the deity of Christ Jesus. Consider John chapter 8 and verse 58. Verily, truly, I say to you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. That is, Jesus Christ declared himself to be God. He is the eternally pre-existent God who revealed himself in the Old Testament to Israel. Consider also the words of Christ in John chapter 8, verses 23 and 24. You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you, you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Here again, Christ referred to himself three times as the I am, repeatedly claiming full deity for himself. I am basically means I am the one who is, who will be forevermore. That is, our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is fully deserving of our daily worship, witness, and work as believers in him. The Apostle Paul affirms this in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. The Hebrews epistle writer affirms this also in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 that says in part, the Son, S-O-N, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So, outside of the Bible, what tangible evidence does mankind have to point us to the absolute uniqueness, one-of-a-kind lordship of Jesus Christ? Consider these examples. Number one, today, after about 20 centuries since Christ walked upon this earth, regardless of culture, color, country, or continent, Jesus Christ is still universally considered God as he is worshiped, witnessed, and worked for by professing billions of Christians. That cannot remotely be considered a coincidence, but instead a God insistence on the hearts and minds and wills of countless believers for over 2,000 years. Secondly, is Jesus Christ unique? Who else by his birth has split the Western calendar into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., which is Latin Anno Domino, meaning year of our Lord? Number three, Jesus Christ never himself personally wrote Scripture, yet his words orally have been recorded, recited, collected, preserved, taught, memorized, memorialized, put into poetry, prose, plays, and songs, and hymns, and even died for. And that is unique. Fourthly, Jesus Christ never himself traveled beyond about a 200-mile radius from where he was born. Yet Jesus Christ is today known personally by Christians in all of the current 195 nations of the world, and his words have been translated into the majority of some 7,106 living languages and dialects worldwide. That's unique. Fifthly, Jesus Christ was not formally educated. He was not wealthy. He basically owned what he carried on his person. He never married. He had no biological children. He only lived on this earth some 33 years. Yet he is still the subject of countless books, magazines, plays, movies, media of all types, and the inspiration for countless schools, seminaries, ministries, associations, and organizations of all kinds. Amazing as it sounds. Sixthly, Jesus Christ continues after 2,000 years to be a popular subject of history, of current literature, of future prophecy, of music, of paintings, sculpture, in fact, most of the arts and humanities. Seventh, Jesus Christ, according to his own words, made a most unique declaration. John chapter 8 and verse 46. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? That is, he declared himself to be morally and ethically perfect, sinless. Now that, amongst the human race, is really one of a kind. That's why he could offer himself as an atoning sacrifice on the altar of the cross to appease the wrath of a holy, holy, holy God against sinners by taking our place, the sinless Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin, or a sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 8. Yet for all of Christ's fantastic claims, he was also simultaneously self-humbling. Speaking of Jesus, an apostle wrote in John chapter 13 and verse 5, it says in part, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. That is, Jesus stooped to wash 24 feet, the work of a menial slave. The Apostle Paul wrote of Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8 in part, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Make no mistake, dear listener, that was incredibly humbling for the one and only Son of God. Jesus Christ most uniquely is Lord God and was suffering servant to all. Jesus' words are profound and penetrating. John chapter 7 and verse 46, no one ever spoke the way this man does. Jesus' actions were high and mighty, supernatural. John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44, which says in part, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Who else do you know raises the dead after having been in the tomb for 4 days, according to John chapter 11 and verse 17. Who else with such power also remain lowly, meek, and humble? The Son of Man, one of us, fully human. The Son of God, one with God, fully God. Today, Christian martyrs in the 21st century are still dying for Christ and His kingdom. In fact, in the 20th century and into the 21st century, more martyrs have died for Christ's sake than in all the previous centuries of the church age combined. Augustine, a 5th century Christian, wrote, quote, Christ is not valued at all unless he is valued above all. William Shakespeare, great English playwright in the 16th century, a professing Christian, stated, quote, I commend my soul into the hands of God, my Creator, hoping and assuredly believing through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Savior, to be made partaker of life everlasting, end of quote. What's important today is what we do, what we generally believe of Jesus Christ. Is Christ our personal Savior and Lord? That is the most important decision we will ever make as accountable human beings. His invitation is to receive Him personally, not by force, but by choice. For Jesus stated, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. How can you refuse Him? I am is calling you, perhaps even now, listener. Please come to Jesus. Do you need to confess Him as your personal Savior and Lord? believing that He is the Christ, repenting of your sins, being baptized, immersed into Him, and persevering in Christ Jesus. Do so today. It's the most important decision and the best decision you will ever make.
Is the great I Am your Savior and Lord? Do you believe in Him and follow His ways? The book of Acts shows us that people who believed in Jesus repented of sin, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by water baptism. If we can help you in a decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, simply ask for broadcast number 2008. That's 2008. We hope to hear from you soon. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing them over.